The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family, especially our sisters and brothers of Odessa and Midland, in sorrow and in mourning for their dead today. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love, and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus is dining with the locals of a town somewhere along the way to Jerusalem, this time in the home of a Pharisee. And this isn't really big news, as Jesus eats with people a lot, all kinds of people. But the gospel writers tell us these meal-sharing stories because when Jesus is near, something always happens. Water becomes wine. Meager amounts of bread and dried fish feeds thousands of people. Zacchaeus, the notorious tax collector, vows to return the money he stole from the citizens of Jericho, all over dinner. The paralyzed man lowered through the roof of a house is healed and walks out the door. The eyes of the disciples are opened to recognizing the risen Jesus during breakfast on the beach. Wherever and whenever Jesus is present for a meal, something is going to happen to stir things up. It is no wonder then that the people attending this dinner party are watching him closely. In this meal-sharing story, Jesus is offering a parable, which on the surface sounds like he's giving a biblical version of an etiquette lesson on a better way of having a dinner party. Jesus' parable is a thinly veiled one, really. It's not that hard to figure out. He's giving commentary on the social order he notices in the people around the table. A social order that's all about honor and shame, social and political standing. This order seems to matter more than anything or anybody to these people present. And in this parable, Jesus is challenging all of it. You see, Jesus points to what this so-called order actually does to people. It stifles their true worth, leading them to seek honor for themselves. It leaves people anxious about keeping up and fearful of being left out. It excludes anyone judged as incapable by the powers that be to contribute to the social order. It keeps people isolated from each other and polarized over each other and demonized by each other. Everyone is competition by comparison. And after Jesus is done speaking, I imagine the host is wondering why he invited Jesus in the first place. It's pretty rude for an invited guest to speak up this way. And especially to this host, a respected leader in the synagogue and community, the leader of the Pharisees in his own home, no less. But Jesus speaks up anyway, challenging someone of power within it. Jesus is certainly stirring things up again, all right. This time, it's not a miracle for the crowd, or a healing, or even a personal transformation. It's a social revolution for all of us. Jesus is inviting all people to a whole new way of life. For the people of Israel in the first century, and for us, the people of the 21st century. Social and cultural order is as important to us now as it was then. We too are drawn to order, to fend off threats and to feel safe. We have the same desire for comfort, to overcome our insecurities, to be in control of our lives. The people of Israel lived under the pressure of the rule of the Roman Empire. That's not the worry of our social order today. However, we live being pressured by the unlimited messages that life is best lived striving for personal production, being valued for what we do, what we have, and how we look. We're told just buy this, just do that, and trust in your own abilities. It may work for some. It might not for others. And it's definitely not for all. This is the point Jesus is making. Social orders feed anxiety and fear of always needing more or never having enough. And Jesus makes it very clear, social order is not of God. Jesus proclaims here and throughout the Gospels that in the kingdom of God there is no order, social or political, and no one is excluded. Each one of us is unique as God's perfect creation. Each one of us is a life with value, and each one of us is worthy of love. This sure feels like good news, doesn't it? What could be better than being loved for exactly who you are? Not by how you compare with others, not by your accomplishments or your failures, not by your bank account or credit score, not by your IQ, GPA, or degrees, not by your hairstyle, your weight, or your clothing. not by how old you are or how young you are, and certainly not by any movement up or down in the social order. Not by anything else, just you, no matter what. Loved every minute, forever. Breathe this in with your next breath. Let this rest within you. Feel its power and promise and freedom. We can depend on God's grace. God's grace alone is enough. God has already secured for each of us a place we can never secure for ourselves. There is nothing we can do or need to do to prove ourselves worthy to God. God's only desire is for a relationship of love with us. This is the source of humility and hospitality and blessing. God's complete love for us, flowing through us, and sharing this love with others. One to one, and the church to the world. Now, Jesus knows that letting go of our desire for order is scary. He spent his life watching, showing, and teaching us how to live in the freedom of God's kingdom. We are still working on it. Some days the pull to order seems stronger than our faith. We want to rest in God's love and grace amidst the voices of more, more, more. So take a deep breath. And remember these words that St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Hebrews. Jesus' promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. And with this promise from Jesus in mind, St. Paul wrote, we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? So, with confidence, repeat after me. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Amen.